Ray Kaplan joining us right now. Do you want to talk about anything else besides student loans? You ever listen and say, I want to do a different movies? We're going to do a half hour on Ray Kaplan's favorite movies today.
I just saw a good one called Tar.
Tar?
Yeah.
Okay. What's it about? Good. Tell me.
It's starring Cate Blanchett, and she plays a conductor, and it's kind of a anxiety-producing, maybe descent into madness, cancellation a little bit. It was very interesting, very well done, and it was at the Music Box Theater, and it was great.
All right, that's great. Yeah. Thanks for stopping by, Ray.
Anytime.
We're going to talk about all things student loans, the website rollout, possible lawsuits. We'll get to it. Also, your questions, too, always welcome, 312-981-7200. That's our phone number. Financialrelief.com is where you can find Ray. Call them at 312-294-8989. All right, Ray. Okay. We had the website rollout over the weekend, right?
Well, so the Department of Ed has rolled out its beta version of its application for the Biden loan forgiveness, which is going to be either $10,000 in forgiveness or $20,000 in forgiveness if you received Pell Grants.
So this is it. So this doesn't happen automatically. You actively have to do something.
For the most part, you pretty much have to do something, and it won't be applied automatically in many cases. But for some people, it will be applied automatically, but they're rolling out this thing.
I feel like you just summed up this all in a nutshell, that for some people this, some people that.
Yeah.
And it's changing every day, seemingly.
It's changing, and then complicated by the fact that there were a flurry of lawsuits against the Biden administration, basically stating that he overstepped his executive authority by doing this at all, that it should have gone through Congress and the Senate. And so there's a motion for injunctive relief, and that is being considered by the court right now. We probably should have the results of that within the next few days, I would imagine.
So this whole thing that we're talking about now could be upended, perhaps.
Could be ended.
312-981-7200. That's our phone number. The phone lines are open right now. That's rare, and it won't be for long, as we get a lot of questions often for Ray about what's going on in the student debt world. Okay, so did you go to the website? Did you tinker with it? How's it going?
I did, and it's a very simple form. There's something a little confusing that happens, though. When you enter in your information,
what is the website again? One more time.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it's studentaid.gov.
Okay.
So that's the Department of Ed's website. And you guys don't all have to go and crash the website all at once.
That's why it's in beta mode.
Which is what happens every day. But essentially, it's a very simple form, and it allows you to just put in your name, social security number, and indicate that you're applying for the Biden loan forgiveness. And then it says, thanks for visiting the Biden loan forgiveness page. So people are like, wait, did I apply for it or did I just visit? And so there's a little bit of confusion. But apparently, according to the Department of Ed, if you did fill it out and you got that message, that means that you did apply for it. Now, you won't see that applied to your account for months.
Mm-hmm.
So don't start looking for it to be applied anytime soon. And then even if that didn't work, we do have until the end of December 2023 to get the application into them. So don't panic.
Okay. So studentaid.gov, I just clicked on the button. It has not crashed yet for me.
Oh, nice.
I'm not going to enter my information because it actually me to affirm these things, and I don't apply to any of these things apply for me, but they say I request federal loans, and I verify I'm the individual named above. I affirm that I made less than that income requirement, made less than $125,000 if I'm a single tax filer, and you ask all these things. And I would imagine that, and there's the click box. I certify under penalty of perjury.
Right. And also for people who were close to the income threshold, maybe in 2020 or 2021, you might want to think about contacting your tax preparer, because potentially maybe you could amend your tax return to get under that income level.
Okay. So
if it's a close call.
Because you could use 2020 or 2021.
Right.
So if you're saying you made $125,400, let's say.
Right.
And you could theoretically, even though you filed it, maybe even got a refund or owed money on that, your tax preparer could theoretically go back and refile saying, legitimately, here's what we missed.
Right.
You're not trying to cheat.
We forgot
obviously
to take this tax deduction, and it actually puts us under. Now we're at $124,000, so we qualify for the relief. So that could make all the difference.
Wow.
So you want to see if, potentially you can amend that tax return and then get this relief.
Okay. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. So, I guess what I'm saying is that just because you fill this out doesn't mean it's for sure going to happen. I wonder, do they have the bodies to go? Are they going to be Who are they checking this with? Is this going to be Department of Ed talking to the IRS then at some point to look at these tax records?
In most cases, yes. And so the other thing they're going to do is if you've previously been enrolled in an income-driven payment plan because of your federal loans, then they have your income information from 2020 or 2021, and they can just use that information and then apply that loan forgiveness to you directly. And you just want to make sure if you, because a lot of people I talk to think they received Pell Grants but didn't receive Pell Grants. So you just kind of want to make sure, am I going to get the $10,000 or the $20,000? So you get $20,000 if you got Pell Grants, $10,000 if you did not.
All right, we're talking with Ray Kaplan from financialrelief.com. Our number, 312-981-7200. Her number, and John Williams made this up, so I'm not taking credit for it. 312, which is Chicago, 294, which is the tri-state, 8989, which is Ditka,
the Bears, twice.
Right. And I tell you what, you know, I've talked to you so many times, and we get so many numbers on the station, I mess them up. When I learned that little handy hint,
yeah,
I will never forget that.
I know, it really helps, right?
Right. Did you give that to John Williams, or did he come up with that
all
on his own?
No, he came up with it all on his own.
He's a smart guy. He'll be back tomorrow, in fact, financialrelief.com. Okay, so let's talk about these lawsuits. Actually, I do have a question on the text line. Let me get that one first. Could you please ask Ray what happens if the student never filed a tax return when they only had a small job and only made about $700? Do we need to submit a copy of that W-2?
Yeah, submit the W-2. That's perfectly fine. Doesn't matter that she didn't file a tax return.
Submit it to whom?
Oh, studentaid.gov.
Okay. Yes. They'll ask you to upload that information at some point?
Yes.
Okay. So that's to prove that you didn't have a job maybe in college during that 2020 or 2021. You had a small W-2. You submit that instead of filing a whole tax return.
Exactly. Right. So she could actually just submit an income-based repayment plan application and attach that W-2 and then submit that to her servicer or try to upload it on studentaid.gov if you can electronically. I would actually wait for them to roll out the real application because the beta is the one where they're trying to test out the kinks and everything. So I would probably just wait for them to roll out the real one.
Okay. 708 wants to know, is the relief money taxable in some states?
In some states it is. Illinois is not one of them.
Wow.
Wisconsin is. And I believe Indiana is as well.
On their state taxes, not their federal.
Their state taxes, yeah. So federal, it's not a taxable event in terms of your federal income tax, but in terms of your state taxes, it depends on which state you're in, but Illinois is fine. You're not taxed on it.
Say that very quietly, Ray. We don't want the wrong people hearing that. They don't tax that yet. 312-981-7200 is our number. All right. Lawsuits in six states, I believe, filed by the attorney generals in those states.
Right.
And I think they're all red states, saying that President Biden overstepped his authority. And it's interesting, President Biden, we talked about this last time, just a couple weeks after the student loan forgiveness, said the pandemic is over.
Yeah.
And yet that was his justification. There are certainly, that's a good discussion to have. That's a legitimate debate to have about this.
Yeah. I mean, look, so that's why they're tying it to your 2020 or 2021 income, because those were the years where the pandemic was raging. So, mm-hmm. I think there's a good argument to be made that it is part of the pandemic relief effort. And I have a feeling that it's probably going to survive the court challenges. Don't, you know.
Right. Don't call you.
Yeah. But my feeling is just kind of intuitively it should survive. There's a really good lawsuit, I guess, or a more meritorious lawsuit, which was filed by Mohila, one of the servicers, against the Biden administration. And basically what they're arguing is that they are going to lose a lot of money in terms of loans that they're servicing. Mm-hmm. So they're suing on that basis. And a lot of the other lawsuits were dismissed for lack of standing, but that Mohila one is surviving. And so then they also could apply, even if they don't get injunctive relief, they could appeal to the Eighth Circuit, which is also pretty conservative. Not that means you can tell for sure how they're going to rule,
I just wonder, this could end up in the Supreme Court is all we're saying. Yeah. And it is interesting to see what the heck would happen. I mean, we have people here walking through the building, our producers who are celebrating this because a lot of them have this outstanding loan. Imagine watching your debt go from $30,000 to $10,000 because you have a Pell Grant and then finding out later that, nope, it's back to $30,000. And that might play into the decision-making process.
I know. And I would just like to tell people out there that there are, even if this loan forgiveness doesn't survive, the federal loan statute is really so on the side of the borrower. So even if for some reason it does get overturned, there's likely another way, another path where we can probably get your loans forgiven, get you close to forgiveness, or get you a reduced payment. So not to worry too much if, even if it gets overturned.
312-294-8989 is Ray Kaplan's number. You know ours, and I'm going to go to the phone line right now. Rhonda, you're on WGN. Hey, Rhonda.
I have a question. College graduate in 2020, federal loans, no Pell Grant. The loan currently is in on hold, I think, or forbearance,
right.
I think it's called, with the federal loan. Can he apply through Biden's plan for student forgiveness?
Yeah, absolutely.
Even though it's on hold?
Yes, absolutely. So we were just talking about this. The main thing is whether or not the applicant is under the income threshold. So if he's a single person, right, single person under $125,000, married filing jointly under $250,000 for either 2020 or 2021, and $10,000 in forgiveness if he did not receive Pell Grants, $20,000 if he did receive Pell Grants. But yeah, no problem applying.
So go ahead and apply studentaid.gov. What about college students that are still in college taking the loans?
Right. Great question.
It should still apply. That's the problem with these executive orders, is that they are a little vague on those details, and those details really matter. So we're kind of waiting to see how that stuff is going to be fleshed out. But my understanding is that the loan forgiveness would still apply to people who are in college right now, too.
All right. Rhonda, thanks so much. I cut you off there.
What were you saying?
All right. Just saying thank you. Okay. $360,000 you just saved someone at financialrelief.com, and all you do, how the heck did that happen?
Okay, so this is the really big news. It's the PSLF waiver. That's another Biden executive order, which
this is
no
from a while
challenges.
Ago, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So this was rolled out in October 2021. No court challenges. Let's just hope that.
Right. Stay quiet
yes,
on that.
Mm-hmm. Let's keep that between us.
PSLF stands for?
Public Service Loan Forgiveness.
Okay.
And essentially what it does is it allows us to go back in time and get you credit where you would previously not get credit towards forgiveness of your loans. So a couple of fun examples. We had one client who had been working as a professor at UIC for many years, but she had the wrong type of loans, so she couldn't pursue public service loan forgiveness. She had federal loans, but the wrong type of federal loans. Her loans didn't qualify. So what we did was we did a federal consolidation and then applied under the PSLF waiver, got her $242,000 in loans forgiven.
Bye.
Gone.
And I just
want to tax free.
I just want to clarify. Public loan forgiveness, public work loan forgiveness is not a new thing. That's an older thing, right?
That's an older thing. What's new is this executive order that allows you to go back and retroactively apply time where you were employed, but you had the wrong type of loans.
So there's a lot of people that said, oh, I would qualify for public loan forgiveness, but I didn't do X, Y, or Z,
right.
Who now do?
Exactly. And people think like, oh, I already tried to apply for that, but I was turned down for some reason. You got to give us a call because this executive order expires October 31st, and I know my staff is super frazzled right now just getting all these applications overnighted to Mohila, but it's very important that you go through the process, and we have to get everything in by October 31st. If we get it in November 1st or we try to apply for it November 1st, denied.
That's 2 weeks from today. So
yes.
If someone calls 312-294-8989, is there time? They
got
to be quick on it.
Yes, there's time. We're going to need your help getting your employment certification form filled out. But we had another lady who worked in public schools for a really long time, and she has $360,000 in federal student loans. She thought there was nothing we could do with them. They were the wrong type of loan, et cetera. We followed the process, and we're going to get her entire loan balance forgiven.
I mean, that's insane. So it's basically like a quick close now, and you do save a mortgage, essentially.
I mean, this is really life-changing, huge forgiveness. That's why it's kind of, I'm scratching my head that there's all this focus on like $10,000, $20,000 in forgiveness, like, you know, big whoop. We're talking about $300,000 in loan forgiveness for one person. So if you ever worked in the public sector, or if you ever think you worked in the public sector, because sometimes people
don't
actually know. They're working for Northwestern. We don't think of Northwestern as a public sector employment, but it is.
Right.
Most of the hospitals in Illinois, even if you're the maintenance man at that hospital,
right,
we can get it done for you, but it's really limited time, and don't let it pass you by because it really is life changing, and they're not going to extend it because they've already forgiven $9 billion in loans under this waiver.
Okay, let's go to Lori. You're on WGN. Hey, Lori.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. What's your question for Ray?
My daughter just graduated in 22. She did have a Pell Grant, but it was only like $600.
That's fine.
Would she qualify for that extra 10?
Yes. If you got any Pell Grant, then you get,
expressed on how much that Pell Grant had to be.
Oh, so you don't just get the $600, you get the $10,000.
Right.
Hey.
Just the fact that she got a Pell Grant makes her eligible for up to $20,000 in loan forgiveness.
Perfect. That's all I wanted to know, and I appreciate all the information that you've given us. I mean, it's really helped a lot.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that.
That's why we keep having Ray Kaplan on financialrelief.com. Let's go to Donna. Donna, you're on WGN. Hey, Donna.
Hi. I'm calling kind of for my daughter. She graduated. It's been a while. I think in 2010 from University of Illinois.
Woo-woo. Yeah.
And she had money from the federal government, but was advised at that time by, I don't know who, probably me, to consolidate her loans. And so she did.
Okay.
I don't even know who she's with.
That's okay. So the key is, did she do a federal consolidation? Because if she did, she's okay. The thing you
I don't think she did.
You think
she
did private?
Sure.
Yeah.
You think a private consolidation or a private refinance, I should call it, because that's an important kind of distinction.
Well, that's what she was advised. She called some company and that's what they advised her to do.
Mm-hmm.
So first thing I would do is have her create a studentaid.gov account. So using her own name, own social security number, and her own date of birth. And then they'll verify her identity. They'll send her an email. She'll click on the link. Then when she goes into her account, make sure she writes down her username and password. So when she goes into her account, if she has any federal student loans, it'll populate in there. So it'll say, hi, it'll have her name, and then it'll show if she has any federal student loans. If it says the balance is zero, then you're probably right and she refinanced with a private lender, and then there's nothing, none of this applies to her. But
if she
does have federal loans and they do populate in there, and that's studentaid.gov, then all of this would apply to her, and we can help you guys with that too, because you know there's lots of different paths to forgiveness and getting lower payments.
It's worth checking out, Donna.
So she could call you to discuss. I don't even
know.
I mean, I hear, you know, you hear less and less as I get older. So I don't even know what her balance is.
Well, tell her to call.
Her give us a call.
Right. And Donna, you're a great mom to be doing this for her. But you make her call. All right. 312-294-8989. Okay, Donna?
Thank you.
Sure.
All right. We had a text wondering, could you ask Ray, if a person is on the 10-year, 120 monthly payments working for a public service loan forgiveness while in forbearance, are the months where no payments are being required, are those months being counted as being paid to the total 120?
Yes, they are.
So you didn't pay.
Really cool. Yeah. So for these last 2 years under the COVID CARES Act, your loans have been frozen, right? So as long as you're working for a qualifying employer, meaning you're working full-time in the public sector, what you want to do, though, is you want to submit an employment certification form, and you want it to go to MOHELA. MOHELA is the servicer that has a contract with the Department of Ed to oversee all public sector loan forgiveness applications. So if your loans are being serviced by like AidVantage or Nelnet, you want to move them over to MOHELA if you're employed in the public sector. And also, to answer that caller's question, the 2 years that we've been in COVID forbearance do count towards that magic 120 that you need. So you've got at least 24 months under your belt already.
Ray Kaplan from financialrelief.com. Really quickly, one last text question. 773 is working as a college professor at a private university. Does that count as public service?
So if the university is not a 501c3, it's not going to count. So you need to be a salaried employee at a not-for-profit institution. Just Google your school and find, because people get this confused. They think, and it is surprising sometimes, some of the private entities that are actually not-for-profits.
Right. Just Google it. I love that advice from Ray Kaplan. Or better yet, call her, 312-294-8989, financialrelief.com. Ray, thanks for stopping by.
Anytime.
Always appreciate it.